Awesome. Thank you all for coming. I'm excited to have you. So real quick, same as last time, if you were in last session, I'm going to record the audio. So if you're a copious note taker, I would prefer just engagement, and then you can have the recording. It'll be posted. I give you a QR code. It'll be posted on a U-Sign or a podcast a buddy of mine from Utah does. We do it. It's basically a crowdsourced professional development platform for work-based learning. It is completely free. I'm not trying to get you to subscribe. I don't give you money. It's just a hobby that we do. But it's a great place for me just to be able to post audio. So the audio for this we posted. The slides should be in the app. I posted them. As of about 30 minutes ago, they hadn't shown up. So if they don't show up in the app, I will give you everything I have. I'll give you for free. So don't be like, he's trying to keep it. I'll give it to you. If it didn't show, something may be wrong with the app, but I posted them all at the same time. Also, this is water. I'm not a lush. Okay, we'll make sure that you understand that. It's still early. all right, so I want to get into this real quick. I am passionate about U-Science, and I'm going to tell you a lot of things about U-Science, and I want you to understand I do not work in sales for U-Science, okay? It's going to be hard to believe. I do not work in sales for U-Science, so please understand that. But I want to teach you beyond theory. How do you actually use U-Science? We've all been to the trainings. We've all seen the data that it produces. If you're in Georgia, the DOE has bought it for you for free. So if you didn't know that, it's free to you. Not free, but free to you. I love data, and this is the very, very, very best data yield you can get. I'll walk you through all that. But having said that, this is not a how to use U-Science. This is how to, I'm hoping that you've already been through the U-Science trainings. If you haven't, I'd love for you to still stay and introduce you to Ms. Jenny. She will do all the trainings and give you all the stuff you need for U-Science. But I'm going to show you how do you actually use the data, some creative ways to use that data in your school. Okay, so real quick, my bio, that's all we need about that. I use LinkedIn a ton, so if you want anything that, if the slides don't show up, just connect with me on LinkedIn and send me a message, and I'll give you everything that I've got. It's all free. So, is anybody in here like data? Anybody like data? Okay, I'm a nerd. Okay, that's not an insult to call me a nerd. That's not an insult. And here's why I love U-Science. If you've been through any statistics classes, you know the difference between an ANCOVA, an analysis of covariance, and a MANCOVA, a multivariable analysis of covariance. Anytime we get two variables producing a data yield, it's going to be a better yield. Two variables yield better data than one variable, okay? So this is what we're gonna start off doing. Also, this is where the audio will be posted. You have to scan that now. I'll give that to you at the end of the presentation. Let me make sure I'm recording. I am. Okay. So, the chances are good that you've heard what U-Science can do, but you may be struggling saying, how do I actually use it in my schools? Okay? How do I actually use it in my schools? Okay? So, real quick summary. Here's why. This is basically what U-Science does, and I'll tell you, we'll get into other parts of it. The reason aptitudes are better than interests, okay? One, you get a plus data yield using a multivariable analysis of covariance versus a single variable analysis of covariance. I know that sounds really nerdy. All I mean is two variables produce more and better data than a single variable, particularly if that single variable is interests. What are interests for you? What are interests for our students? They're ephemeral, right? They're going to change. Particularly when you have a middle school students come to your high school to look at your programs, you know what kind of student I was? The student who followed the pretty girls into the fashion program. My interests were ephemeral based on the cute girl who just moved into our district and is taking fashion. That's how I took my classes. Therefore, it is a terrible way to give students career advice. They already know what they're interested in. They already know what they've been exposed to. So even as a single variable, aptitude is a better predictor than interest because interests change and interests are ephemeral. Two, aptitudes prepare students with more than the traditional interest survey. Interests are easily constrained. If you want to get really into the weeds about equity and access and inclusion, aptitudes are a better variable for equity, access, and inclusion. Because if I only advise you about your career based on your interest, I'm bringing into the equation all the variables of socioeconomic data. Maybe you're from a single family home with a mom, you don't have a dad, so you see traditionally feminine careers. Maybe you're from a geographically locked location. I used to teach in Eccles County. It's one fast food place, and it's timber, and that's it. So if I'm only telling you and advising you based on what you're interested in, interests really equate to exposure. You can't be exposed to something or interested in something you haven't been exposed to. So if we continue to give students career advice based on their interest, we're perpetuating all of the divisive variables and constraints that exist in their life. That's why I love U-Science. It allows me to say, hey, I know you are interested in timber. Here's a great example of a conversation I had. I know you are interested in the timber industry, but you are really gifted and test very highly in engineering. Have you ever thought about going to school to be an engineer and then creating equipment and protocols that revolutionize the timber industry? That's what U-Science can do. You can expose students to things they've never thought about before. Expose them to careers based on what they are good at, not what they are interested in. That is unparalleled power. And Jenny, if I'm wrong, no other company can do that. It is proprietary to U-Science. No other company can leverage aptitudes over interest to give you a multivariable analysis covariance. It doesn't exist. And here's the good part about this for you. It's free to you, because the DOE's paid for it. Phenomenal, phenomenal tool. Again, think of interest as exposure. You cannot be interested in something you don't know exists. That's pretty basic logic there. Now, so here's my main goal for today. I want you, I hope that you can leave here saying, not, well, Bridge Bill compliance, I really have to use U-Science. I want to destroy the, well, it's one more thing mentality in your head. U-Science is not a one more thing. I hope that I can engender in or create within you the attitude of U-Science is something that I need, want to do, not have to do. We got to move into that realm, and that's what's going to allow you to communicate to your staff, to your teachers, to your peers, to your students, the true value of U-Science. Now, here is my main takeaway. So my main goal is that. Here's my takeaway. I'm going to give you a bunch of ideas, okay? Some things we've done at Lowndes County Schools. Some things I want to do, but I know my place. I'm way down here. Okay, I do call myself a gentle disruptor, and sometimes I'm not really gentle, and I rub people the wrong way sometimes, but I'm passionate about what I do. If I get too loud, tell me. Dr. Wall came in here twice. He's like, Jason, you're too loud. The governor's over there. They're doing a presentation. And I was like, oh, okay. So if I get too loud, y'all just kind of give me. But I do get animated and excited. I love what I do. So my main takeaway is I just want you to leave here with some ideas. Because what we did at Lowndes County may not work for you. You may have ideas. If you have really good ideas, please share them with me. Because what you're doing in your school may work for us. This is about collaboration, sharing ideas on how you can actually use U-Science. I really want the ideas to just permeate. Think about it. See what will work for you. See what won't work for you. Okay? All right, so here's the first pain point. I can't, remember, this is about how do you use data. Well, you can't use the data until the students take the assessment, and they can't, or complete the assessment, and they can't use the data unless they complete the assessment, and they can't complete the assessment unless you administer the assessment. How do you administer the assessment in your school, particularly if you've never used it before? If you've already been using U-Science, it's not a big deal. Here's what happened to us. We started last year. Lowndes High School is 3,400 kids. Okay? So it's a big school. There are reports, grade level reports for each level, each grade, okay, that you need to do for U-Science to get them completed. Or not for U-Science, excuse me, for the Bridge Bill. To have it broken down. Well, we had to eat the whole apple. We couldn't take a bite at a time. Because if I started with freshmen, I'm going to be non-Bridge Bill compliant for the next 2.5 years because the sophomores are never going to do it. So we had to do the whole school at once. Was that problematic? 100%. But that's not a U-Science problem. That's not a DOE problem. It's not a school problem. It's just a problem. No one created that problem, but anytime you bring a new product to market, the biggest obstacle is education. Here it's implementation. We have to find a way to do it. Now, next year, we're only doing it with freshmen. It's going to be much easier. But we had to do freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors all at once, and it was in the middle of a new rollout. There were some issues last year at Lowndes High School just because it's a lot of students. So here's our plan. We're going to roll it out with the one class that every freshman has to take at Lowndes High School, and probably most of you in your schools, health and PE. Any coaches in here that want to offend you? They probably aren't going to mind taking a day or two off. Okay, I used to be a coach, I can say that. But we did this to establish a sequence for completion. Start as freshmen, do the ninth grade part, complete the assessment, and then you start layering and scaffolding into the compliance part for seniors and do some pretty unique things. Now again, the problem, we had to start school-wide at once. Drinking from a garden hose, fire hose, eating apple in one bite, it was tough. But we got through it. So that may be a similar pain point for you. Jason, how do we administer it? This is not an SAT, this is not an ACT, this is not the EOC. You do not want to sit these kids down in your auditorium and have them do this for an hour and a half. They're going to be brain dead. Okay? Now, it's not like that in another way, too. These are games. This is not it is a little mental fatiguing because you're using, you're engaging your mental faculties, but it's not like the SAT. You're engaging students with games and pattern recognition and matching games. It's very unique, but they recommended still 15-minute segments, Jenny? 15-minute segments is what they recommend, 15. If you wanted to double up, U-Science isn't going to be bad about that. I would recommend no more than 30 minutes at a time. But if you do that with health and PE, you could do that once a day, 30 minutes out of our block. They'd still have 60 minutes to go play basketball, okay? That's how we're going to do it. Now, that may not work for you, so here's some other ideas. What about doing it in your home room? That's how we did it last year, because everybody's got a home room. The problem with that was we had a few students who were dual enrollment, never came to campus, work by swearing, never came to campus. You have to identify those students ahead of time, get to them a little bit later. Now, they're telling me I'm loud. Hold up now. challenge accepted, Dr. Wall. Okay, home room. It's already grade level specific, and it's easy to track. So if you want to roll it out in your home room, that's fine. Again, you're asking people to take 15 to 20 minutes a day. If you did 15 minutes a day, you could, well, I'm not great at math, probably be done close in within 2 weeks. If you did 30 minutes a day, you could be done within a week. Non-EOC required courses. What about making that a part of the non-EOC required courses? Like an English class. Tying that, how about this? Using the U-Science results in the describing U section, what's it called now? Discuss Together? Discuss Together, the tribe has been renamed Discuss Together. What about taking those standards, that data from the Discuss Together section, and putting it and implementing it in an English class under the standard of resume writing? Have them actually write in an English class their resume and their cover letter using U-Science data. Now you've not only enriched the curriculum, or you're not going to use science, but you've enriched their curriculum. You're giving them something they can do that's content curriculum specific. What about in the EOC courses after EOC administration? That 2-week dead period where the students know if this were important, it would have been taught before the EOC. They know that. And there's that week and a half to 2-week dead period. What are you going to do with those kids? Let's do use science. Take this set. Now this is again, eating the apple all in one bite mentality, okay? Or your CTE classes. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of other areas you could do this, but those are the ones that really came to mind. And then just attacking that first pain point, how do we administer the assessment? Anybody else have any ways that you've administered that assessment in any different ways? Okay, not all at once, everybody. Not all at once. Okay, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Extended learning, that's a great way to do it. And remember, it will get easier once you get once you've done it school-wide. Now we're going to go from doing it for 3,300 kids to doing it for 900 to 1,000 kids. Much more manageable. Yes, ma'am.
So we don't do it the ideal way, but we do get it done. Mm-hmm. So we do it on testing day. So we have the PSAT and the AFAB and then the ninth grade science assessment.
Okay. All at one sitting?
All at one sitting.
Okay. Well, I agree. I would say that's not ideal. It's good. I'm glad to have it. But my question would be, if you do that, here's what I would say do. Every year, Jenny, they can retake the interest part.
And the personality.
Yeah. Every year they're going to redo the interest and personality profile, which I think is valid, because if I'm taking the youth science assessment and I think I want to be in healthcare, but I'm exposed to engineering, once I'm exposed to something, my interest may change. I think it could really be overcome. The short side of that, of doing it all at once, could be overcome if you had them take the interest part every time it's available to retake. That would be a good thing to do. Now, pain point number two. This is a big one. Fighting staff misconception. What's the biggest misconception you're going to get when you administer youth science? Oh my gosh, this is just one more thing to do. Look, they're probably saying this the same way when I was teaching graphic arts and in Colquitt County, they came down and said, everyone's teaching literacy. My response was, I'm not an English teacher. Right? So it's the same thing. I mean, our perceptions are typically geared and slanted toward what we're passionate about. So I'm hoping that you can take this data and impassion your staff about the valid ways you can use science. That's one perception. Use science is just one more thing. Another misconception is it's just for CTAE. So why would I care about the use science as an English teacher, history teacher, math teacher? Again, as an aspiring Career Academy CEO, I would have every single person on my staff have their entire roster, their counselor report, their student summary, and their 5 to 6 page profile. I would have that in a folder per roster. There's no better data yield as we get into this to know your students, especially as you're learning to meet these new students, what really makes them tick. I'm telling you, like if you've, has anyone in here actually taken the youth science assessment? Did it put you on paper like it put me on paper? I mean, my most darkest, intimate things. I'll tell you anything. Like, it literally knew me in and out. It's good. That's what sold me. I am a convert of youth science because of a lady in Utah named Kelly Oppenshaw. And she said, Jason, quit complaining and just take the assessment. And I said, okay, I took it. I took it, and as soon as I saw my results, I was like, oh yeah, my kids are doing this. Because it knew me. It was so spot on. Now this is a thought. Now I don't want to offend people. I really, 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 really don't like the moniker college and career ready. And some of you, that may be your job title. I'm not trying to be offensive. Here's why I don't like it. I've never met anybody who retired from college. Even when you go to college, you're going to college for a career. I am a fan of moving away from the one-size-fits-all approach to post-secondary training, and U-Science helps us do that. If your chosen career path is architecture, yeah, 4-year degrees for you. If it's welding, college is a waste of time. College is a very, very, very expensive laboratory. U-Science helps you discover that before you go and accrue all the student loan debt. It's a fault, and here's what I think is interesting is that even in trying to bring academics and careers together in the moniker College and Career Academy, we've actually perpetuated the dichotomy between the two. It's not college and career ready, it's career ready, whether it's college or trade school or military. That's what youth science can help us do, is really destroy that false dichotomy between that moniker. Again, it's not an evil moniker, I just think it's just not well thought out. Okay, so how do you fight this conception? Show them value. Show your students value. Show your teachers value. Show your directors value. Show your administrators value. Show your counselors value. Show your special education people value. So we're going to get into the content now. I've laid the groundwork. How can you actually use? Oh, hold on. I really kind of like that animation. I'm going to go back. I was proud of myself. How can you use youth science data? Okay, how can you actually use it? And you've got to look for it. Okay. It's got to make it fit your system. One, here are all the things you can use U-Science for. Have you ever thought about using U-Science as an SEL tool? Social and emotional learning, I'm going to show you how. You ever thought about using it as a PBIS tool? Positive behavior intervention systems, 100%. Great tool for that. Parent guardian insights, phenomenal tool for that. IEP and 504. I love working with my special ed department, so I say this without judgment. They have a thousand other things to do. Have you ever read through an actual transition plan? They're not really good. It's more about compliance. U-Science can actually put data to the transition plans for all your special ed students. Phenomenal tools. Differentiate instruction. You can differentiate instruction based on someone's personality, their modalities, their aptitudes. career guidance, obviously, that's what it's meant for. And something I really, honestly, I couldn't find a 7-part graph, so there's one more I couldn't put up here. It's a great way to teach your teachers how to evaluate their instruction. So I'll start off with that one. What if all your students had U science assessments, and then you as a teacher went in and you looked at all the students who did poorly in your class or failed your class, and then you look and say, are there any commonalities in their personalities or learning styles? Maybe 4 of the 6 kids who failed your class are all extroverted brainstormers. What can you learn from that? You're not giving enough time to get up, move around, learn with their hands. Maybe all the kids who failed your class are introverted specialists. Now you're doing too much. You're not giving the kids the time to privately think and reflect over the material. So this could be an instructional differentiation tool for your teachers to learn how to differentiate their instruction, or maybe to evaluate how they're teaching the classroom. So we've moved way past CTE now and moved into the academic classroom. There's a ton of value for academic teachers here, okay? So at the center of all this is transformation of school culture with U science-driven insights. That's what U science can do for your school. That's what U science can do for your programs, for your districts. Now I'm gonna get to this thing called 20 and 2 in just a second. So let's start. Students, how can students use U science? Self-awareness. I just did a whole presentation on self-advocating on a reverse career fair. Students don't know how to self-advocate. We produce students who have great content, great knowledge, they know their skills, but they don't know how to sell their skills to industry. Now they can become self-aware, they can self-advocate, they know their skills, they can go out and promote themselves, they can do better in a job interview using U science. They learn their strengths and weaknesses. They can already self-advocate, selling their skills. Positive interaction and emotional wellness. There's that SEL component for students. U science becomes for students an immediate and perpetual repository for what I call relational contact points. You get a student who comes into your class, you don't really know what it takes. They sit in the back of the room, they never talk, they're real quiet. They do your work, but you just can't get them to engage. U science can help with that. Yes, ma'am.
I was just gonna ask, who goes over the U science assessment with them?
I wish I had an answer for that.
We struggle.
We struggle too. It's me, and I'm hoping that the teacher's doing it. Now, we just rolled it out 1 year. We'll begin to evolve. Like I said, this is beyond theory, still conceptual, but just beyond like the theory of what can U science do, how can we use it? So I'm not gonna have every answer, but I would love to brainstorm and collaborate and find out what you're doing that works. Connect with every single student. So here are just a few examples. Okay, can you imagine in your classroom a teacher saying, hey, look, before you leave, I was looking over U science results, and I noticed that you're a future-focused individual. What are you thinking about for school, college, careers, military? That's a personal contact point used, and it's not anecdotal. It's, I noticed you're a future-focused person. What are you thinking? I know you're thinking about something. Let me in. How can I help? How can I guide? How can I facilitate? U science-driven. Or what about a conversation that says, hey, before you leave, I was looking over U science results, and I noticed that you have a masterful vocabulary, and you also tested really highly in written skills, or in creativity, excuse me. A high vocabulary, and you're really creative. Do you write? I'd love to read some stuff that you, and I'd be careful what you ask to read. But, okay? But now you take that, and I love this. So this book, if you haven't read the book, there's some bad parts, there's some good parts. We read it for SEL instruction a year and a half ago at my school, and it talked about Little Billy. The Little Billy who sits in the back of your room and never engages, has a bad home life, just doesn't learn the way everybody learns. U science is the way for you to go in and engage the Little Billies, making the personal relational contact point. Hey, I noticed that you're very creative and you have a masterful vocabulary. Can I read something you've written? Now that kid goes from being in your class to being your student. That's a pretty substantial shift. What about this conversation? Hey, before you leave, I was looking over U science results and I noticed, this is long, I have to read this one, that you're a list checker like me. This means that you're good at catching errors, but it also means you can wear yourself out looking for them. So as you prepare for my exams, please make sure you take time to just take some just small quick breaks. Let your brain refresh a little bit. Now it's, you've gone from they're in your class, to your student, to now they're your mentor or mentee. So U science can do crazy cool things just by taking 20 seconds to look over a student's results and have a 2-minute conversation with them. If you're not good with technology, take 2 minutes to look over their youth science results to have a 2-minute conversation with them. Relational contact points for each student. Phenomenal, phenomenal data. And then you close the conversation with bringing it home in the SEL style. Hey, look, just want to let you know, these results, these skills, these traits make you special, to make you unique. I'm excited to work with you this semester. Little Billy is going to respond to that one. Little Billy is going to be a part of your class now. He's going to be engaged because he knows you care. He doesn't have to know exactly how you know all this stuff, but now you have a tool to engage your students who run from engagement. Phenomenal, phenomenal tool. Next, student preparedness. The discuss together section. When they take their results, it'll give them a whole section in the discuss together of statements that they can use to describe themselves. That's job interview prep right there. Memorize these statements. I like to teach my kids to move away from these empty adjectives that we tend to use. I'm a hard worker, I'm loyal, I'm dedicated, I'm gonna be on time. Every student's gonna say that. They're not differentiating themselves in the interview process. But when I give them access to the U science results and I show them the discussing together, formally describing U section, and I give them the statements of what they can do, memorize these statements. Find 3 of these that you like and make sure you work them into your job interview. Somehow, some way. Now it's no longer anecdotal, it's data driven and it's well written, it's well prepared. 2, they can use the terms after the section of statements. It'll give them adjectives and verbs that describe what they do well. Now they have words that they can use to create conversation in job interviews, words they can use to describe themselves in a resume, on a cover letter, and it's not just blind writing. It's not copying and pasting off of the word templates. You've all gotten those resumes. It's just a word template where they just change the name. And they forgot to put type name here, type skill here, right? I didn't put this in here, but there's also, it's not a part of our DOE contract, but for a school of my size, there's only 3 or 4 schools bigger than our school in Georgia. It was $1,500 to get the ECP section. And that includes the education career planning, which includes a resume template builder, which brings it right in from their results. And that's for my entire high school. For me, it was $1,500. And the prices may have gone up when they rolled out BrightPath.
The size of the school.
Well, yeah, depends on the size of the school. That's what I'm saying is that it's probably going to be cheaper for you because we're one of the bigger schools in Georgia. There's only 3 or 4 schools bigger than us. So if you're a smaller school, it'll be a little bit more affordable than that. Now, so talent wheel, personal approach. Students can explore these core drivers and they're tied to vocations, tied to careers. Then I can go and look at the career and I can look at the majors and the colleges that relate to that career. And then I can track and see what colleges are in my area that relate to the skills that relate to the. This is a comprehensive approach to career planning. And if their job requires them to go to college, they can plan out their colleges. If the job requires them to go to trade school, they can plan that out. If the job doesn't require anything, it'll show them exactly what they have to do. Telling a unique story, they can advocate for themselves with no empty adjectives, actually using words that make sense, that have value. Imagine mock interviews, when you invite people to come and mock interview your students, and the students actually have valuable words to say. Not fillers, not empty adjectives. Great content. Okay, now let's move into school counselors. The 20 and 2 part, out of all those conversations I just showed you, 20 and 2, what a great way to meet with a student and engage that student who you may not know very well. Our counselors, we have 6 counselors, Dr. Williams, about 600 students apiece. That blows my mind. What school counselors have to do? This is a tool that can make it easier for them. Personal relational contact points. Imagine relationship building, imagine those positive interactions, imagine SEL compliance, which is what counselors just kind of dumped on the counselors. We don't do it as a school. Imagine results-based career counseling. That's kind of new and trendy. Imagine result-based career fairs. So you have a career fair that you just invite manufacturing to come to your school, and you invite the manufacturing pathways, but you go through and you look at your entire school, who tested highly in manufacturing skills, and you bring them from your classes into that career fair and engage them in what they're tested positive on. That's an organic way to recruit students for your CT programs. Why am I not doing that? Imagine results-based industry tour. Same thing, taking a field trip, Don't just randomly pick a class. Actually look in U-Science and find the people who tested well in that industry and then send them. Career CT exploration, career exploration. When you had the middle schools come over, they go in to see every single pathway at the high school, every single one of them. Every middle school comes to the high school and they go and they visit every pathway. They get 5 minutes each place. Why not look at their U-Science results and send them to their top three aptitude-based careers? Why not? Give them 15 minutes, 20 minutes in each class versus 5 minutes. Spend the rest of the time walking around the campus. Here's a pretty controversial one, because I don't want to advocate denying students opportunities, but can you imagine a results-based scheduling priority? You have a wait list for your culinary class, but it's because guys like me are taking it because their girlfriend's in it. And you know that. You have a wait list, maybe you bump the kids up the list who tested highly in the affinity and interest area, and not the kids who just want to be around the cute girls. I don't advocate denying students opportunity, but this could be a way for you to filter out and sort through that list, that wait list that you've got. So school counselors, phenomenal tool for them. I'm gonna be very brief because I could do a whole session on U-Science work-based learning. That is my passion. But work-based learning, a skill set repository for pairing students with an employer. You know what the employer typically does, what they like. You can begin to sort through these kids and place students there on a skill and interest-based result or results based on their skills and interest. You can go into pathways. Let's just say that a manufacturing company comes to me and says, Jason, I really need some help. I need you to get me some employees. I don't have any employees right now. They're all working. Well, I can go to U-Science. I can search for students who have aptitudes, and I can pull them out of class and draw them to me and say, hey, look, just notice you tested really positive in manufacturing. You thought about taking this class. I got a job. Employers will hire the first 5 people I send them. Are you interested? Now, that's what I call organic growth for my work-based learning program. If I just take the kids who are interested in my program, I'm not really growing. They're already engendered interest. If I go out and recruit students who aren't interested in my program based on their skills and aptitudes, now I'm growing. Career Academy directors, man, what a tool to be able to go in and find students in your high school who are interested in the careers offered by your CCA who would probably not otherwise go. It just takes a little bit of salesmanship. Hey, look, I saw you're doing really well with this. Have you thought of a career here? Customized career counseling, artifact creation, interview prep, and building employer profiles. Here's something that we are doing. It's pretty unique with one of my biggest employers, Ace Electric. They just won that ACT's National Business Partner of the Year award. And that was before we did this. I'm really excited about maybe some future awards for them. I am having them give U-Science assessments to their existing employees. And they're going to go through and identify the employees who work for them, who do well, and who haven't done well. And they're going to develop for me a template that I can go back and actually recruit students, not just from the pathways that lead to them, but recruit students who have these particular skills and put them into specific positions. Because they may say, look, we have not had any luck with welders who are extroverts. Okay, that makes sense. You're in a helmet all day. You're probably going to not be an extrovert. You can't really talk in your helmet, right? So if they're talking, they're pulling their helmet up. They're not welding. They're talking. So they may say, look, we've hired 2 adults who tested as extroverts, and we ended up having to move them to engineering and not manufacturing. So Jason, we're not saying we're not going to take any extroverts, but maybe you can start considering recruiting students for us in this program and maybe kind of prioritizing the students who are not extroverted. Unique. Gives me a template to better recruit more, increase my efficacy there. What about for CTAE teachers? Now, the next slide is going to be teachers. So this is just isolated for CTAE teachers, but I talk to a lot of my people who I work with, Dr. Williams' staff, our CTE teachers, and like, Jason, the counselors just keep dumping kids in my class. And my response is, that's because you're not recruiting kids for your class. The counselors are going to fill your seats because they have to put students somewhere. If you don't want them to have these, what I call schedule fillers, fill them with people you recruited, and there's no room for counselors to dump kids in your class. U-Science is a great way to recruit for your program, your CTSO, your content area, to recruit. Go ahead. And so here's what I did for a good friend, Andrea Bridges. She helps me with work-based learning. Her name's Andrea Bridges. I said that really fast. She deserves a ton of credit. She came to me and she's like, Jason, she teaches the TAP program one block a day and does WordPress running with me three blocks a day. She said, Jason, can you run me a report for every middle school student in our county who has an aptitude or interest for ECE or TAP? 100%. 5 minutes, it was done. Guess what she did the next week? Went to all those middle schools and talked to all those kids. Guess whose program's growing? Her. She's doing the data-driven recruiting. It's the data's there. The data's there. We're not using it. And some systems are not even using U-Science. And it's ludicrous because we pay money to use tools that are less effective than the tool that's free to us. You can target market students with their aptitudes. You can target market students in underrepresented demographics. Females in welding, females in electrical, females in construction. Giving those females an opportunity to walk on any job site as a female and say, I'm here to work, and they're going to get a job. Because we have to employ these underrepresented demographics. Imagine using this for your advisory committee alignment and recruitment, for CLNA data. Imagine recruiting it for and using it to increase employer involvement in your programs. Now, what about academic teachers? How do I get my academic teachers on board, Jason? Recruiting for your program or your club? Okay, so here's an example for math. I use this with our math teachers. If you teach geometry, you can do a real quick search on the students on your roster and see who tested well for spatial visualization. They're probably going to do well in geometry. And the ones, if you teach algebra and the students tested well in spatial visualization and not numerical reasoning, they're probably going to have a little bit more support need for you in algebra than they would in geometry. So you can use U-Science results to differentiate your approach to academic instruction as well. Imagine using U-Science for classroom management, grouping your students. Not just, hey, look, I think you're an extrovert and think you're an introvert, let's just put you together. I can actually know based on the data and build my seating charts based on personality profiles, build my groups based on personality profiles. I can have differentiation instructional components. I mentioned that earlier. Evaluating my pedagogy, my instructional practices as a teacher based on U-Science, seeing what students typically don't do well in my class. What about behavior intervention? Here's a good one now. This is fun. Little Billy just won't shut his mouth in your class. First day, Little Billy needs to be quiet, buddy. Second day, Little Billy, come on now. We talked about this. Third day, go see Dr. Williams. You're out of here. Well, what if you looked at Little Billy's results and you found out that he's not being rude, he's an extroverted brainstormer. He's trying to engage in your curriculum. He's trying to learn the way his brain works. That's a PBIS strategy. You're taking a student who would end up in the discipline area, the discipline string, referrals, detention, being taken out of your class to go to ISS, and we've misdiagnosed the problem. They're not a problem kid. They're a brainstormer, and they talk. So now we intervene with a student. Instead of them becoming a discipline problem, we pull them out, and we say, hey, here's how you engage in my class as an extrovert. Here's how you engage in my class as an introvert. That's really cool, and it's not just CTAE. That is across your entire district, U-Science as a behavior modification or intervention strategy. Now, what about your administrators? Result-based course offerings or pathways, okay? Require schools to renew. Now, I'm gonna say this, I don't wanna offend anybody. If your schools are offering pathways that you don't have industry to consume that talent, I consider that a sacred cow. You had the pathway that your teachers love to teach, but there's nobody hiring those kids. Well, you know what sacred cows make? Really good hamburgers. Kill them. Now, I know I'm being facetious. I know there's a person on the other end of that, right? But maybe you say, hey, look, here's a pathway that we really need. So go back to business education. I used to teach web design. Web design's a dead pathway because you've got Wix, you've got all these things that are all GUI-based, AI can build your website like that. So as much as I love web design, you're not coding websites anymore. That's being done through AI and through GUI-based web platforms. We should be teaching more cybersecurity. That's how things have evolved in business education and in information technology. So I'm not saying be insensitive to your staff, but I'm saying, can you imagine looking at the students coming up in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade before you start offering these pathways to say, look, we have a really big wave of students who are interested in healthcare and have a really big need in industry. Maybe we should start offering more healthcare pathways. Does it require school to be nimble? Yeah, it does. Is it going to be complicated? Yeah, probably sometimes. But why are we not developing our programming based on what needs the industry have and what our talent dictates in our school? responsive to local needs of industry and demand, industry community partnerships, stakeholder engagement, measurable impact for your programs, increased graduation rates, increased certifications. You put students in a pathway that they love, they're going to be better students across the board. We know that. The data shows that. You put students in a pathway they love, they're going to be better students across the board. Give them something to hold on to, and they're going to have a stake in coming to school. That's what U-Science can give us. Put them in a pathway they love based on their interests, their aptitudes, and based on what your industry needs. Now, here's another one. CLNA data. Now, I am not a CTE director. I'm familiar with the CLNA data. But these are the six parts of what CLNAs are basically encourage us to do. Encourage is a little friendly. They make you do, right? Student core indicators. Look at number two, labor market alignment. U-Science is the perfect tool to align your labor market and your pathway offerings. Size, scope, and quality of your programs, that depends directly on the number of students who are interested or aptitudes for that program. Career pathway programs of study and implementation. Same thing, the data comes right from U-Science. Recruitment, retention, and professional development. 100% data from U-Science can be used for that. And then equity and access, 100%. There's not one thing on your CLNA mandatory data that can't be facilitated or completed with using U-Science. It's the best data yield we can have, and there's so many systems not using it. Special education, here it is. Transition plans are sometimes, I'm not dumping on, I love my, we're doing a series right now on the podcast I showed you earlier on work-based learning and special education. I love special education. I'm not dumping. I'm saying they're just like school counselors. They have too much to do, so something's going to have to get the short stick. Well, when the short stick tends to become related to my program in career counseling, that's when it gets my interest. Why do we expect special educators to be content experts in special education pedagogy and career counseling? Why are work-based learning and special education not working together and letting work-based learning go in and look at U-Science and help facilitate that transition plan with an actual goal the student wants? And my friend on the podcast was talking about how he was trying to help a student. She had an unsuccessful outcome in a work-based learning placement. He looked at her transition plan and it said she wanted to work at, the California, In-N-Out Burger. That was her career goal, to work at In-N-Out Burger. That's laughable. I don't care what level of special ed she is, your career goals should be more lofty than working in In-N-Out Burger. I know they pay a lot in California, but I mean, seriously. It's good food, but that shouldn't be their transition plan goal. That's not a goal. Okay, again, challenge accepted. It's starting to turn my volume up a little bit, okay. Can you imagine using, and this is what the lady in the first series of that podcast, she said that she did some data collection and she realized that when she put special education students in a pathway that they really enjoyed, they saw increased attendance and increased buy-in. So imagine a special ed student who really struggles with math and they hate math. I don't like math. But now you really get them passionate about welding. And you teach them, hey, buddy, you really need to know some math for measurements, tape measures, angles, grind. You need to know some math. Now the student has buy-in to math because you've connected him. He doesn't give a lick about math. He didn't care anything about math. He knows that math is an ends to a mean to be a good welder. Now you've got buy-in in the special ed student who you typically struggle getting motivated to do the academic part that they struggle with. And you leverage their interest in careers to complete academics. What an amazing strategy to use in your programs. Eliminating clutter in career counseling. Like, look, no one likes to be the bad guy, right? But you always got that kid who's like, ain't turned the assignment in for you all semester. And he's like, I want to be a brain surgeon. And you're like, okay, buddy. Okay. I don't want to be the guy who says, hey, you ain't going to be a brain surgeon. Because in my luck, he would be. And he'd like, I would be in his book. My teacher said I wasn't going to be anything, and now I am, right? But eliminating that clutter. So here's the thing. A student who, when they take their U-Science assessment and it gives them their strengths and their weaknesses, it says, here are some things that you're going to be really good at. And here's some things you're going to really struggle with. Now I can pull back and say, hey, look, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do this. If you're interested in being a healthcare provider, you want to be a nurse, you really need to focus and do better in math. Because your math 70, 72, 71, 67, your grades in math since middle school are not very good. If you want to be a nurse, You're going to kill somebody if you don't get good with math. And now they start taking math seriously because it's a means to an end for them. It eliminates that career counseling clutter. And it's not, you're not being the bad guy saying, hey, buddy, you're not smart enough to be a nurse. We don't want that. That's not career counseling. If you want to be a nurse, here's where you may be deficient. Let's develop a plan for you to get better in this area. What a phenomenal tool to use that we're just not using. Again, mention that 2152 project, the QR code's at the beginning of that. If you're interested in how what we're doing in special education can partner together, it's a pretty interesting two episodes to go through. Industry. Developing a ubiquitous language between you and industry partners. I just mentioned in my last session that it is a prevailing theme just at this conference. I've been to 3 sessions on how to leverage business partners to increase CTE programs. It is the hot topic right now. Well, can you imagine if your industry partners understood the U-Science language and it became a ubiquitous platform that you can talk about, and when you said, hey, I have an extra brainstormer or a blended energizer who's a blended specialist, and employers actually knew what that data meant, you create that ubiquitous language, now your CLNA buy-in is going to be a lot better because they see the fruit on the backside of this. So identifying successful traits, increased efficacy with student recruitment. The start of the pipeline. I'm real big. This is like my work-based learning platform. If anybody knows me or been in my sessions, you've heard me say this. My job is giving industry access to talent. Industry's job is retaining that talent. And when we've done that, we've created a talent pipeline. And here's why that's important. Here's what U-Science can do for you in this area. If you're having trouble getting industry buy-in into your schools, here's a really quick, somewhat aggressive way to communicate this. Finesse it how you see fit. Say, hey, look, your taxes are a sunken cost you can do nothing about, but your tax dollars go to our public schools. So if you don't hire our kids, you're actually paying to develop talent for your competitors because they're going to hire them. So why don't you hire our kids now versus waiting until they're 18 coming from somewhere else? Let's find a way to keep a return on investment and move our students from the high school, which you're funding with your public tax dollars, and put them in a pipeline to our industry where we can retain our local talent. We're speaking industry's language. U-Science allows us to do that, to give them access to talent, have them retain that talent, and then build that talent pipeline where both parties are satisfied with the model. So, what time am I? Oh, gosh. I'm still 2 for 2. I'm early. We got a few minutes. Any questions, comments? Let me say this real quick. The audio will be on that podcast. I'll go back, and it'll be listed as a bonus content. If you want to scan that, I'll go back to it. But as I do that, does anybody have any questions that I can try to answer? Again, this is water. I'm not a lush. Any questions for me? Yes, ma'am. Hundred percent. Great. That would go under the 20 and 2 with counselors. Phenomenal idea. Any other comments or questions?
Can I give a plug?
Yes, plug.